Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Good morning. It's great to see everyone and so good to, you know, you've got to keep on your toes with these, what we can now do in church thing. I think Jeff was just talking to some of the other ministers in Bathurst this week and said, oh, did you know, that the whole singing with masks on is happening. It's like, oh, no, what else have I missed? And you kind of dig in there again. It's like, oh, we can have more people. Yes. So, yes, keep on your toes with where you're at and who you are and just keep looking because you just never know what's going to happen next. Well, I was being excited this week. It felt like, it felt like the kids had been forgotten to be sent out. Rosemary? <No. laughs> maybe they just wanted to stay in. So kids, would you like to run off to kids' church, go and have some fun, make sure we can hear you? We don't want to forget that you're there. That's why it looks so full, isn't it? Yeah, now half the church is gone. It's all good. Go and have fun. No, I was excited this week because it felt like it was Easter all over again. And I thought, oh, maybe we should do Easter more often. And then I realised that we couldn't get Easter eggs. They'll be here in January. But, you know, we've been making our way through the Gospels and we're at that crucial part, the really exciting part that we know as Easter. And so preparing this message, it felt like, oh, this is us. Like, this is who we are. And this is the message that we want to talk about, that we want to tell people. And we've just had last week, you know, we closed off and we left everyone in despair. And following the death of Christ, there were days of despair. There was hiding, there was grief, there was absolute confusion. His followers, they didn't know what the deal was. They didn't get it. It was all a bit of a fog. But in Luke 24, verse 1, he says this, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.' Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men." That's often the case. "So they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened." A bit later, when they were gathered, in Luke 24:36, it says, "Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. 'Peace be with you,' he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. 'Why are you frightened?' he asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and he ate as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things." Wow. In one just miraculous moment, everything shifted and Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is not in that tomb anymore, but Jesus is alive. And it didn't seem possible and it didn't make sense. Like the whole thing was completely beyond their understanding. It was completely beyond anything they'd obviously ever experienced before. Yes, they'd seen Jesus raise people from the dead. They'd seen him do those miracles. But for him himself, with no one, you know, kind of praying that prayer over him or declaring something over him, that he himself rising from the dead, what is this? Their minds were spinning, like complete like spin. They were kind of in this fog, in this dream, and but Jesus was alive. Like they could see him there in front of them. Like they could touch him, they could feel him. There was no doubt he was a ghost. Like that doesn't happen. Like he was real. He actually ate something. And then he starts to show them. He opens up their mind and just starts to explain everything that was written in here. Like in this Old Testament, the thing that they'd been reading for generations. He started to kind of really go, "You know, you've been reading this? Like, this is me," he says. He lets them know, "This is me." And finally, they start to understand and they can see that Jesus is the promise that God gave. He has the power. It's in him. It's in Jesus that is the power and authority of God. He's just not just working on God's behalf, but he actually embodies that power. He is that. And more than anything else, they can see that Jesus is alive. And so what are the disciples like? What do they do with that? Like it's completely shifted the ground. What do? They believe. They look in front of them and they believe. They stop doubting and they choose to believe. Like there were still a lot of things that didn't add up. But they chose to believe. They chose to go, "Okay, despite the things that don't add up, I'm going to believe." It wasn't a feeling. It didn't kind of have this amazing feeling come over them. "Oh, I feel like I believe, so I will." But no, I will choose to believe even though it makes no sense. They believed that he was alive. They believed that this person standing in front of them was actually Jesus, was the same man who they saw crucified, who they saw put in the tomb and now was standing in front of them alive. They chose to believe that it was him that had the power and authority of God to rise from the dead. They chose to believe that actually he was God. And they chose to believe that he was the fulfillment of all these promises that were written about him right from the beginning to the end of their Bible. They chose to believe those things. They saw that the problem, that sin, had been solved. So Jeff spoke last week about this problem. He spoke about this thing called sin, that's such an unpopular word. And he explained that sin's not just the things we do. It's not getting angry. It's not running a red light. They're wrong. But that's not the extent of sin. Sin's actually it's a state we are in. Like it's just, unfortunately, it's just what we are. We are full of sin. Like the Bible says in Romans that everyone has sinned. Like absolutely everyone. And there's no running away from that. You see, sin is actually wanting our independence from God. And every single one of us has wanted that because we've all wanted to do life our own way at some point, all of us. And that's the problem, is that when we want independence from God and we take that independence and we do the things that we want to do our own way, he goes, okay, I will respect your choice in that. You can do that. You can choose that. But if we want independence and we get independence, the problem is that we are no longer near God. We are separated from him. And that's sin. That we actually can't be near God because we've chosen not to. It's a consequence. You know, if a child leaves home, which one has and one's about to, and they want their independence, so I just want to do life my own way. Like, you can see really clearly that child is no longer in the house. Like, they're separate. They're separate from their parents. And that's the same with God. When we take that independence and we choose to go, we are separated from him and from who he is. The problem with that is that we can't go back. My kids can come home. I'll let them in the door. I'll feed them again. But we actually can't go back when we've made that choice on our own. It's just not possible. And that's the big problem. And that's what Jesus did. That's why he died on the cross, because he made the way to get back to God. He made the way to know God again, because when there's a consequence, there needs to be a payment for that. And instead of us paying for that, Jesus paid for that. He took that sacrifice in our place as a willing God, as a willing man. He took that sacrifice and gave us a second chance. Basically, he opened the door and said, "Do you want to come home?" But it's still our choice. It's still our choice to walk in that door. It's still our choice to believe that that happened, that he came alive, because he broke the power that was death. He broke the power that was sin, because in God's authority, as God's authority, he rose from the dead. That death couldn't keep him down. That sin couldn't keep him there. No matter that it was the sin of the whole world, past and future, he had the power and authority of God, and it couldn't keep him down. And so he rose from the dead and is alive. And we can now choose to walk in that door and say, thank you, Jesus. I know you're alive. I'm coming home to you. We can believe that Jesus had that power and has that power and authority of God to forgive us and everything. And we can believe that Jesus was that fulfillment of all these promises, like every single thing here, that he was that fulfillment of those promises. Because when Jesus came alive, the whole course of humanity shifted. It was heading in this direction. It was the door was shut to God, and there was nothing that we could do to come back. And Jesus opened the door when he came alive again. And he said to his disciples and us, it's for us too, in Mark 16. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, because anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's the good news. Like, that's the guarantee that when we believe, that's all we have to do. We just need to believe that he is Jesus and he is alive and that he is God and that he is the promises fulfilled. And that's why these baptisms today are so exciting, because a baptism is the public declaration that you believe. Like, when you make that choice to believe, that's when you step through the door. And when you're baptized, it's showing people, this is what I believe. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, I believe these things. Saying that I know that God died for me and has wiped out the past and has set me on a new course. And so we can see really clearly that, like, our people being baptized, it doesn't matter when they made that choice to believe. And it doesn't matter, you know, where their life happens to be at this point. I can pretty much guarantee that they're not perfect. I know I was baptized a while ago. I'm still not perfect. But what does that mean for us? Like, whether you're baptized or whether you're kind of, you know, trying to work things out. If I believe, then I want to live like it makes a difference. That's what it means for me. As I choose to believe, not feel like I believe, because there's going to be doubts occasionally. It's going to go, I can't feel it. I can't feel God. Things are not right. But I'm going to choose to believe. As I choose to believe, I can actually start living like a person that's been given new life, because that's the reality of what's happened. When I choose to believe, I have the new life, and so I'm going to start living like I have that. And so I know that I'm loved. When I choose to believe, I know that I'm loved by God because he died for me. That's love. And so therefore, I can love others, whether they might have wronged me or whatever, even if I don't know them. I can actually love them, because that's a new thing, a new way. As I choose to believe, I know that I'm included in his family, because he says that when we choose to believe, that we are adopted into his family. We come back home. We come back into his house. We come back into his family. And so then I can include others. I can embrace them no matter who they are or what they look like. I can know that God actually wanted all these people in his family, no matter where they happen to be at the moment. They may not be technically in his family yet, but he wants them to be. And so I can choose to include them as if they will be in the faith that they would be, in the hope, in the promise that he longs for them to be. And I can live free and forgiven. Like, that weight of sin has gone, and I would have no guilt of anything that's happened in the past. It doesn't matter what it looks like, because it's actually in the past. And today and tomorrow and every day is a new day. It's a new day with nothing wrong because it's free and forgiven. That's what happens when I choose to believe. And also, I know that I'm equipped. I'm equipped to live life as God intended me to live. Because when I believe, the Holy Spirit comes inside of me. That's the power of God to live this life. You know, sometimes we hear people, what's this baptism of the Holy Spirit? What's these tongues? It's like icing. But when I believe, the Holy Spirit does live inside of me. And so that's when I start to discover more who God is. I meet him. I meet him in the Bible. Like Old, New Testament, I realize that this is a real person. It's a living God. And he's in these words, and I can meet him there. I might not be able to feel him all the time. I might not be able to see him, but I can meet him in these pages, in this book. And I can talk to him, and I can listen to him. And often the talking is easier than the listening. But as we talk, and then as we meet, then we learn to listen, because we get to... You know, as you meet him, you get to kind of hear what he's like. You understand what his heart is, because it's exposed in here. And when you understand what his heart is, then it starts clearing the fog out of our own heads, and we start hearing what he has to say. And it kind of wells up inside. And as I mentioned, we're empowered with the Holy Spirit to actually make it happen. We're empowered with the Holy Spirit. When I see that person, I think, oh, then let the Holy Spirit engage and his love come out. You know, when I just want to let the frustration rip because we're late again, stop, pause. That doesn't always happen, I know, but anyway. I can keep trying. Can keep trying to get empowered with his Holy Spirit to bring the patience. And you know, it doesn't matter what it is that's in our world. Like, we've all got different things that we battle with, that are the things that we know it's not the way God wants us to do it, because we know that what his heart is in this word. And some things are going to be socially acceptable and some things are not. Like, that's beside the point. It's what God's heart is for us. Forget society. Go with God and go with what his heart is. And that's what we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live. One of Jesus' followers called John wrote this. He said, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, you know, before and after his resurrection. And they're not recorded in the book, in John's book, and they're not recorded in any other book probably. But these things in this book, they're written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's what this book's for. And you know, there's a couple of hundred years 300 years after Jesus walked on the earth. You know, when people still had the real life stories handed down, and they had these letters passed on, a group of believers from all over the known world at the time and the world where this message had reached, they wrote this creed. They said, this is who we are. This is what we believe. And they said, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. So we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, and through him all things were made. And for us, and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate by the Virgin Mary. So through Mary, he became a person. He was made man. And for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures, everything that was written about him. And then he ascended into heaven. He went back up. And now Jesus is alive and seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he will come again. He's coming back. He's going to come back in glory. But he's going to come back to judge. Are we alive, the living and the dead? And his kingdom will have no end. They said, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son, he is also worshipped. Like, we don't forget the Holy Spirit. It's not just God the Father, it's not just God the Son, it's also the Holy Spirit. And we worship him and we glorify him too. And he's spoken through the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. It's one church, not Catholic, Protestant, all of that. We're one church under God. And we acknowledge one baptism. The baptisms we're going to celebrate today. That's the baptism. The baptism when I say believe, I believe. And we have forgiveness of our sin. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. How amazing is that? Yeah. Written 300 years after Jesus walked on the earth. Like, that is such a long time ago. And that is who we are. And that is what we still believe. All those things. And now it's our turn. It's our turn to hear that good news today. That Jesus is alive. And it's our turn to believe. And it's our turn to live like it makes a difference in our world.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.